Chapter 136. No, she does not matter. She is always jealous. I tell you, it was Monseigneur. You did wrong to show yourself to him. And if you stay here, you will repent it. Mark my words. Go. Here is my lord's carriage, and seizing Becky's arm, he rushed down an alley of the garden as Lord Steyne's barrage, blazing with heraldic devices, came whirling along the avenue, borne by the almost priceless horses, and bearing Madame de Belladonna lolling on the cushions, dark, sulky, and blooming, a King Charles in her lap, a white parasol swaying over her head, and old Steyne stretched at her side with a livid face and ghastly eyes. Hate, or anger, or desire caused them to brighten now and then still, but ordinarily, they gave no light, and seemed tired of looking out on a world, of which almost all the pleasure, and all the best beauty had palled upon the worn-out wicked old man. Monseigneur has never recovered the shock of that night, never, Monsieur Fish whispered to Mrs. Crawley as the carriage flashed by, and she peeped out at it from behind the shrubs that hid her. That was a consolation at any rate, Becky thought. Whether my lord really had murderous intentions towards Mrs. Becky, as Monsieur Fiche said, since Monseigneur's death he has returned to his native country, where he lives much respected, and has purchased from his prince the title of Baron Ficci, and the factotum objected to have to do with assassination, or whether he simply had a commission to frighten Mrs. Crawley out of a city where his lordship proposed to pass the winter, and the sight of her would be eminently disagreeable to the great nobleman, is a point which has never been ascertained. But the threat had its effect upon the little woman, and she sought no more to intrude herself upon the presence of her old patron. Everybody knows the melancholy end of that nobleman, which befell at Naples 2 months after the French Revolution of 1830, when the most honorable George Gustavus, Marquis of Steyne, Earl of Gaunt, and of Gaunt Castle, in the peerage of Ireland, Viscount Elborough, Baron Pitchley and Grilsby, a knight of the most noble order of the Garter, of the Golden Fleece of Spain, of the Russian Order of St. Nicholas of the First Class, of the Turkish Order of the Crescent, First Lord of the Powder Closet and Groom of the Backstairs, Colonel of the Gaunt, or Regent's own regiment of militia, a trustee of the British Museum, an elder brother of the Trinity House, a governor of the White Friars, and D.C.C. L. died after a series of fits brought on, as the paper said, by the shock occasioned to his lordship's sensibilities by the downfall of the ancient French monarchy. An eloquent catalogue appeared in a weekly print, describing his virtues, his magnificence, his talents, and his good actions, his sensibility, his attachment to the illustrious House of Bourbon, with which he claimed an alliance, were such that he could not survive the misfortunes of his august kinsman. His body was buried at Naples, and his heart, that heart which always beat with every generous and noble emotion, was brought back to Castle Gaunt in a silver urn. Enham, Mr. Wack said, the poor and the fine arts have lost a beneficent patron, society one of its most brilliant ornaments, and England one of her loftiest patriots and statesmen, and see, his will was a good deal disputed, and an attempt was made to force from Madame de Belladonna the celebrated jewel called the Uzi Diamond, which his lordship always wore on his forefinger, and which it was said that she removed from it after his lamented demise. But his confidential friend and attendant, Monsieur Fiche, proved that the ring had been presented to the said Madame de Belladonna 2 days before the Marquis's death, as were the banknotes, jewels, Napolitan and French bonds, and see, found in his lordship's secretary and claimed by his heirs from that injured woman. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.